the Saibai tradition, there is a definite relationship between the worship of Lord Murugan and being successful in advanced yoga practices. Gurudeva describes it as follows. To attain even the permission to perform yoga, one must have the grace of Lord Ganesha and the grace of Lord Muruga. Lord Muruga is the god of the kundalini, of the advanced yogic practices. Unfoldment all happens within the kundalini and the chakras within our subtle bodies. Once a profound relationship is developed with Lord Muruga, then with the guru's permission and guidance, true yoga may commence. Otherwise, no matter how long one sits in meditation, no matter how hard one tries, it is just sitting. It is just trying. There is no fire there, no shakti, no power, no change. It is the gods who control the fire, and at this stage help the devotee immensely, bringing him closer and closer to the supreme god, Shiva. Quite often the yogi in his deep internalized state may see and vision the feet or form of God Shiva before he begins to blend into the mind of God Shiva, called Satchit Ananda. It is God and gods in form that help us to find the formless God. End of quote. You can develop a close relationship with Lord Murugan, in which he feels like a good friend, if you take the time to get to know him through bhakti yoga. The practice of devotional disciplines, worship, prayer, chanting, and singing with the aim of awakening love in the heart and opening oneself to the deity's grace. Bhakti, to devotion to Murugan, can be increased or cultivated. Here are some specific suggestions. Number one, make the travel time to the temple a religious one. Don't allow yourself to focus on problems at home or work. Put on religious music in your car audio system and listen to it, for example. Number two, bring an offering. The act of giving opens you to the blessings of the deity. Never go to the temple without bringing an offering and giving it to the deity. Number three, put as much time and prana into the offering as possible. Buying a garland at the store is good, but making it yourself is even better. The prana in the offering, meaning the energy that comes out of your hands when you make the garland, goes into the garland, and therefore when the garland is put on the deity, it is like you touching the deity and creates an even greater closeness. Number four. During the puja, keep focused on the murti and the priest chant. Pay attention. Don't let the mind wander. When singing bhajan, keep focused on the meaning of the words. Fifth and last, the blessings, the shakti of the deity is stronger on some days than others. So attending the temple on the strong days is helpful to attuning oneself to the shakti. For example, there is a stronger shakti on yearly festivals such as Skanda Shashti for Lord Murugan. One of the disciplines that Gurudeva gave to his monastics many years ago was to learn to do the traditional temple puja, Paratha puja, for Ganesha, Murugan, and Shiva. Therefore, all the monastics have had the opportunity to do regular pujas in our temple. Speaking from experience, we can all say that performing daily puja is definitely an effective way to deepen your personal relationship with Lord Murugan. Pujas can also be done in the home, the Atmartha Puja, and again provide an effective way to become closer to the deity. Lord Murugan is traditionally worshipped to invoke the forces of divinity to overcome the forces of darkness. So this is an important theme, so I'll repeat that sentence. Lord Murugan is traditionally worshipped to invoke the forces of divinity to overcome the forces of darkness. This process takes place both in the world and in the individual. It takes place through the power of his veil, which represents wisdom or jnana shakti. Gurudeva often stressed that the world changes because the individuals in it change. In other words, the world becomes a more divine, peaceful place as more individuals find divinity and peace within themselves. And certainly the worship of Lord Murugan and his Shakti veil, his veil of wisdom, is a potent force in moving the world in this direction. Man's nature can be described as threefold: superconscious or spiritual, intellectual or mental, and instinctive or physical, emotional. It is the instinctive nature, the animal-like nature, which contains the tendencies to become angry and harm others. The goal is to learn to control these animal instincts, as well as the ramifications of the intellect and the pride of the ego, and manifest one's spiritual nature. This is the inner process within the individual of divinity overcoming darkness, and the regular worship of Lord Murugan helps us become a wiser person, better able to make these inner changes, and therefore make tangible progress on the spiritual path. Hindu icons in our temples all have mystical symbolism. A common symbolism is to depict the god as male and the god's energy or shakti as his spouse. This is because in these temples they have Murugan with two consorts. So we have to explain the two consorts. God is everywhere seen as the beloved divine couple. Philosophically, however, the caution is always made that God and God's energy are one. And the metaphor of the inseparable divine couple serves only to illustrate this oneness. In the case of Lord Murugan, his consorts are Vali and Devayana. Additionally, we have the veil as an important symbol. These three represent three distinct energies, powers, or shaktis. Vali represents Ichha Shakti, the power of desire. Devayana represents Kriya Shakti, the power of action. The veil represents Jnana Shakti, the power of wisdom. Important insights into the soul's maturing process can be gained by looking at the three shaktis of Lord Murugan. The power of desire, the power of action, and the power of wisdom, which are also the three powers of the soul. We first have a desire. When the desire becomes strong enough, we act. In young souls, the action may be ill-conceived and adharmic. For example, we want a computer, so we simply steal one. Money is needed, so we rob a bank. Soul is repeating a cycle of similar experiences, moving back and forth from desire to action, desire to action. In the case of the adharmic action of stealing, eventually the soul will learn the lesson that this is not the best course of action to take to acquire possessions. This learning is the jnana shakti, wisdom coming in and causing one's behavior to improve. This process also works for dharmic actions as well. We are helping out as a volunteer at the temple and teaching children's classes once a month. We like the feeling it gives us of helping others in a meaningful way and decide to help out every week instead, and even participate in the meetings which plan out the classes. We are doing a selfless action, and the reaction it has on us is to feel more inner joy. Therefore, the jnana is to decide to do even more of it, and thus feel more joyful. We have again improved our behavior. We can see in both of these examples how it is that the soul undergoes experiences in the world with desire leading to action, desire leading to action, and eventually leading to wisdom and the improving of our behavior. This is the divine pattern through which our soul matures over many lifetimes, moving ever closer to God. Whether an action we have committed is dharmic or adharmic, the worship of Lord Murugan and the power of his veil of jnana shakti can help us understand the wisdom or lack of wisdom of our actions more quickly. In fact, some Murugan temples, the importance of the veil is stressed by the fact that the only murti in the main sanctum is the veil.